and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Ted Lasso Season 3, Episode 6, Sunflowers.
Sunflowers.
We kind of predicted what this was going to be about when I knew like it was going to be in Amsterdam, and I figured out where Van Gogh is from. So
yeah, well, you know, these things are important. So
yeah, I, again, no idea why I thought France.
Well, they're close, physically, sort of. Not really.
Well, there's a joke later on about, like, taking a train to Paris, so there you go.
It's not super far away, but there...
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. This is actually going to be a fun episode, because this is a fun episode of the show, I think.
Yeah. But, I was about to say something similar. I was about to say, it's like, there's not much I don't like about this episode. No,
truly. So there's sunniness and sunflowers and... all the things.
There's some like deep conversations. It's good.
Yeah. So we want to get into it, but we need to do our usual caveats, disclaimers, and things, which include that there will be cursing. Mm-hmm. There will obviously be spoilers for this episode, and predictions and things and all of that. We are drinking and Natalie's home. So we're like,
yes, I am.
Better. Yay.
Yeah. Well, for this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you having to drink?
I am having English breakfast tea, which I have not had in a while, and I'm glad I'm doing it now.
Yeah, there is tea in this episode, but I have no idea what Dutch people drink as tea, so who knows?
It's tea either way.
Right, but there's also being American in this episode.
Good segue.
Yeah, so I am having a Jack Daniels and Coke, which comes in a can now, which is such a great idea. And I got to tell you, if you haven't tried it, give it a try. It's super good. And it will get better as this episode progresses, I have a feeling.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. Mm-hmm. The episode starts with the team losing a friendly match, which is basically like just
an exhibition.
Like, yeah, it's an exhibition match. And Rebecca is talking to the owner of the other team, and the other owner of the other team is saying sorry because they lost 5-0.
Yeah.
And it was ugly. And I think Ted says something like, there was nothing friendly about that match.
Yeah, exactly. But they're talking, Rebecca's talking to people, and Keely's there. And I got to say this because I don't understand what they're doing with her from a fashion perspective, but her outfit and hair is just stupid. It's like 13-year-old stuff. And I don't know if they're trying to make it out like she's regressing or something.
I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I don't like it.
I'm also confused on why she's there in the first place. Cause it makes sense, like from a PR standpoint, but she's also supposed to be running a company. And also like, this is just for like a weekend in Amsterdam or something like that. So I'm like, why are you here? And then she leaves. I will get to that in a second, but I'm just like, why were you? I guess you needed to be in the episode. So, I mean, fine.
Or yeah. Okay. Whatever. There is weirdness with that. But they're in Amsterdam, and as they're leaving the stadium, the music coming over the PA system is Everything's Gonna Be All Right. And Rebecca says, well, that song is so depressing.
Apparently that song, because I have the closed captions on, is called Three Little Birds. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
But
I like the song.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Rebecca calls it depressing. And then we go over to, oh my gosh, I love this. I wrote down the quote.
Roy is so great.
Yeah, so Roy and I think the it's Dutch Jan. Dude.
Yeah, I think it might be Jan.
Or Jan, or however the
it's Jan.
It's Jan. And Jan, because he's the only Dutch player who can, you know, speak Dutch, is giving the interview, not conducting the interview, but
he's being interviewed.
And the reporter asks Roy if their poor performance is because of Zaba, and Roy says, who cares, it was a fucking friendly match. Friendlies are pretend matches. This is a pretend conversation. You're a pretend person with a pretend job, and I'm having a really hard time pretending to give a shit. As soon as he said this is a pretend conversation, I paused because I knew I needed the rest of this quote.
Yeah. I mean, it was so great.
Oh, it's amazing.
Then we see that Higgins, because Rebecca's trying to figure out, what am I going to do in Amsterdam?
And they're going to be staying the night and they're going to go out.
Right. So she's talking to Higgins and Keely, and, you know, Keely's, you know, trying to like not commit to anything, but Higgins is like, I'm going to the red light district and
I have a date with something.
Yeah, I have a date with Destiny or something. I'm going to the red light district, and you know, they're all kind of looking at him like,
Nah.
Yeah, you're a married, like a married, married
dude. They all know that it's not like that. It's, right. But they all just are like, no, that's not what he meant.
That's not what he meant. So Keely gets this apologetic tone with Rebecca because she's clearly going to be canceling, but she has discovered through Jack that their best Aurora Borealis is going on right then, and Jack's going to put her on a plane and take her there. So again,
To Norway.
And it's kind of like, okay. Again, why are you even here, Keely? But right at the end of their conversation, she says, "Yeah, thanks to Rebecca for being there." And then she's like waving at Roy, like, "Oh, thanks for doing this." And Roy's like,
because he mentioned at one point earlier on this season, it's like, "I'm willing to do interviews." Because she knows he doesn't like giving interviews, but he's willing to do it. Yeah. And so this was like a step for him to like prove that he's trying. I guess.
Pretend conversation.
Yeah, that pretend conversation.
Pretend to give a shit.
And then he asks Rebecca where Keely is going, and Rebecca says somewhere that believes they deserve her. And
I'm like, I thought it was to someone who believes that.
No, somewhere. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down specifically because I was confused by a later thing. Yeah.
There is a. He's asked something else about Zava, and there's a Zava poster right there, and he just hits it. It falls to the ground, and he starts kicking.
And the Zava poster, it's basically like he was on the team from this point to this point, and it was 2013 to 2013.
Yeah.
So he's just jumped, because it was mentioned earlier, he jumps around clubs, and that's just how it is. I like that touch. But also, spoiler alert, we don't see Keely the rest of the episode. I was expecting her to be in like a montage with Jack, like leaning up against each other or something, watching the Aurora Borealis. And I was like, well, then what was the point?
I don't know.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. So
it probably would have been a worse part anyway, but still.
Right. So the team is getting on the bus, and it's like the bus of sadness.
Yeah.
And Beard is talking to Ted about it, and he's like, well, you're the only one who can do something about this pineapple percussion. He's talking to Ted. And Ted's like,
doldrums.
I get it.
That was funny.
And so Ted stands up and tells the team, there's going to be no curfew tonight. Go do crazy shit.
Yeah.
But be careful. Let's be careful out there, which is a line from Hill Street Blues. And he says it's a line from Hill Street Blues.
And then Roy tells Jamie that he's not going out because they'll be training. And they just start running.
He says, not for you, trainees, like screaming at him. And so
and Jamie, like, as he's getting off the bus, he's like, I'm getting off the coach for you, coach.
It's like the goofiest we've ever seen Jamie. That in this episode is this is well worth, you know, the thing that you've been talking about, Natalie, is that like we really want to see this Jamie and Roy dynamic, and this episode does a really good job of that.
Yes, and I think and it further proves my point that I think he's really grown at this point, because he's definitely more carefree now, mm-hmm. but he's still like dedicated to making him like improving himself.
Yeah.
And I think that was shown very early on where he goes to Roy and not Keely after the breakup. And I think that him and Roy strengthening their like relationship, but it's not
coach player.
Yeah. The coach player relationship, not necessarily like a complete friendship, because that's kind of an ask.
No, but they're bonding.
Yeah.
You know, bonding really is nice human. To see. It's important.
Yeah. I love it so much, and their storyline is so great.
Yeah.
Then Higgins talks to Will's next to Higgins on the bus, and Higgins is like, hey, do you want to come to the red light district with me? And I, in parentheses, I said, better not be like a Beard episode. It's not going to be, but still.
No. It hints at that, but that is not where it goes. So
Higgins
is gonna take Will to the red light district, and so we see the credits, and it starts immediately with Jamie and Roy running through Amsterdam, like they just are running. And Jamie's like basically like tour guide Jamie in Amsterdam.
He learned so much. I'm so proud of him because he's much smarter now.
Yeah,
and showing off his like intelligence, and mm-hmm. it's something we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And you'll understand why he knows so much about Amsterdam specifically. But he really is, again, just growth. I love to see it.
Right. Well, and he's like, let's go this way. He does a cartwheel.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of like, what has happened? Who the fuck are you?
And also basically, with Boyd having bad knees, this cannot be fun for him.
No. And we see Rebecca walking through Amsterdam. She's like really confused because there's so many bikes, and she can call Sassy because of course she has no one else to hang out with. And she's calling Sassy. A guy sees her standing on this bridge, and whistles at her, tells her she's beautiful, and she gets hit by a bike and thrown into the canal.
Yeah, and she, when
he's a good-looking guy.
Oh, he is. And she loses her phone in the canal because she like lost grip of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she, and I kind of like that he doesn't like jump in after her, because that's, that'd be such
no,
a trope.
But what he does is throw his phone in.
Oh, he does.
Oh, my God. It's so cute. I didn't see that. Because she's like, have you seen my phone? And he's like, nope. And he does.
Oh, my God. That's actually, that's adorable. I did not see that.
Yeah, and it's very fitting for what is to come.
Yeah,
he, and he does help her out, because he clearly lives on a houseboat in the
Yeah, because he is, he's just like, okay, well, you can come in and get warm. And she was like, what were you going to tell me? And he was like, that's a bike lane.
She's like, how the fuck was I supposed to know that?
Because everything looks the same.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's really cute. Then we see Beard and Ted, and they're like having a discussion about what they're going to do and where they're going to eat. Ted starts the monologuing about how he is stuck.
Before they do that, at the top of the scene, Ted is texting Rebecca trying to be like, hey, are you going out tonight or anything like that? Because I think he kind of figures that they're both kind of going to be lonely or whatever. It's just like, hey, do you want to hang out? It's kind of similar, I think, in a similar vein as like the Christmas episode or something.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, are you available? And obviously she's lost her phone, so she can't answer. But I wanted to point out that in their like text chain or whatever, you see pre-existing texts before it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that detail, because a lot of shows don't do that.
Yeah.
Whenever I see that in shows, like, especially like just teen drama, like just cable shows, like it's usually like you're texting someone you should have texted before, but it's the first text you've ever sent them.
Yeah, but
I really appreciate it. And they also use like the big like emojis or something like that.
Oh, it's gifts and stuff like that. Yeah,
it's extremely Ted, and yeah. I love that they personalized that. So that was my tangent. I really enjoyed that.
The other thing I like is Beard and his
brushing is like,
well, he's not just brushing his teeth, he has these under eye bag, like, you know, pad,
yeah,
things on, moisturizer patches under his eyes. I'm like, dude,
he was brushing his beard.
He was brushing his beard, and then he was brushing his teeth, and it's like
he's getting ready for a night on the town.
I mean, he really is. I mean, he's got plans. Whether or not Ted is going to be part of those plans, hard to say. But Ted starts monologuing about how he is stuck and he needs to get out and he needs to try something new, and Beard's like, hells yeah.
I've been waiting for you to say something like that. And it's just like the perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
And then you go over to the team who's deciding what to do, because they want to do it all as a team. And they're all looking to the captain for guidance. And he's just like, we're going to do everything as a team. We're going to stick together.
Right.
Even though it'd be more efficient to do stuff apart.
Well,
anyway.
Right. Especially since they can't seem to agree on anything. Everybody has a different idea of something to do.
Yeah. One half of the team wants to go see a sex show.
Oh,
that's actually
later they get into halves. But there's like sex shows. There's going to museums, there's eating the food.
Well, no, that's like eating the food is later, but Danny wants to see a tulip, just one tulip, not like a whole field. That would be overwhelming.
Right.
I absolutely adore Danny. There's a moment later on that I'll point out later.
But you know, they talk, and the Dutch guy Jan says that he
has a private party two hours away.
He has a private party 2 hours away. Let's do that. They ask actually Trent Kramer, he's like, oh, there's museum night here in Amsterdam.
And then I was like, we didn't come here to learn.
And Sam's like, well, we could do movie night. We could stay in, like, kind of like they had done previously in the first season.
Yeah.
In
Liverpool. There are a lot of references to that episode.
Yeah. And they see Higgins, like, Higgins is leaving. And they're like, what's going on? Oh, I'm taking Will out, and he's going to become a man tonight. And they're all kind of like,
and
like,
Will's just like zipping up his windbreaker.
And they're kind of like, okay.
And then so they like leave, and they all go, nah, that's not what he meant.
And they start talking about this private party, which is going to have girls and stuff. And Colin's like, I'm going to have to bow out.
I'm not feeling well, all that stuff. And Trent clocks it.
Yeah.
And then the team is, they're going to pick as a team. And I immediately put in parentheses, this will take all night.
So
I'm right.
Well, we see that Rebecca is at the houseboat, and she has showered on this guy's boat. The guy's kind of disappeared. So she's like looking around for him. It's a really nice interior to this houseboat. There's a very sweet room for a little girl. It's got like uniforms and stuff.
And there was a lot of like airplane memorabilia and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so the guy had left her a little pot of tea with a note saying it's not drugged.
I promise. In parentheses.
And Rebecca drinks and she's like, oh, fuck, because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to see Jamie, who is still running. I mean, they're like, he and Roy are like running, and running's like, and Roy's like way behind him. And we see that Higgins has taken Will to a jazz club.
Yeah.
And is giving him the story about this upright bass player who was the intro to jazz for Higgins, who apparently did a bunch of drugs and committed, we think, either fell out of or jumped out of the top floor of this jazz club. Uh-huh. And this moral of the story is that drugs are bad.
No, pause it.
So we're sorry we had a little bit of a technical difficulty,
aka my contact,
which makes it hard to actually read notes, because we did make notes, and in case you're wondering, you know, despite the fact that we ramble and interrupt each other, we did actually make notes about these episodes.
Not necessarily in tandem, but yes. But yeah, we were at Higgins and Will, and Higgins, yeah, he took him to the place, and we learned that drugs are bad. And then we go over to Beard, who's giving Ted drugs, and he's putting them in tea, and Ted is not happy about it.
Right, Ted's like, I'm more of a Sour Patch Kids guy.
Yeah.
I just love how wholesome he either is or comes across as being. And so, you know, Beard puts it in tea, he talks about how bad it tastes, and Ted makes this comment like, so basically you're hiding poop in a smoothie of barf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, gross.
And then we go over, and so then Ted doesn't drink it, but Beard drinks all of it.
Yeah, he chugs it like in one. Done in one.
And then we go over to the team, and they have voted. There's 9 for the sex show, 9 for the party, and 1 for Tulip. And Danny is like, and I think someone voted for Tulip. But who?
It's in Spanish.
And he's like, someone wrote it in Spanish. Yes. And then they decide to go to the private party after the waitresses come over and are like, do you want to watch tired people have sex? Or do you want to go to a party where you could have sex?
And they're like, oh, they're tired people?
I don't know what they're expecting.
I really don't either.
And then we see Colin sneaking out, and Trent Crim follows him.
Right. And so we also see that the guy has come back to the... Rebecca's guy has come back to the boat. He has food. He's really sweet. He's like, well, I thought, you know, it'd be a little weird for you to be showering and, you know, I might be looking through a peephole. And she's like, I was just thinking you'd have like a webcam, but okay.
Yeah, you've really aged yourself there. And Rebecca has like a cut on her leg from the fall, and he helps dress her wound.
And kisses it.
And he was in the military, and he was like, when he kisses it, he's like, oh wait, sorry, forced habit. Because I guess for his child, he does that for all that stuff.
But he offers her brandy.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, maybe. I shouldn't get drunk right now in a stranger's boat.
Well, we could make dinner.
And she has like 2 hours and 40 minutes left for her like
clothes laundry. To dry.
Very long laundry process.
Oh, you don't remember. In Europe, those little like washer dryer things
take really long. And I'm sure on a houseboat, it's even worse.
Like the little ones, oh, they're just awful. So go ahead.
And then he's like, well, I'm going to make us dinner. And she, and he gives her some clothes from his former partner. She's like long out of the equation, so she doesn't have to like worry
about
anything.
He's really funny about it, because she's like, should I be worried that you have a giant, you know, bin full of women's clothing and
are these trophies?
And he's like, no, my former partner. And she's like, oh, was she? Did she die? And he's like,
unfortunately, not.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, he's very funny. He's a very good-looking guy too. Like, you know, they have these intense stares at each other.
I don't think he's my type necessarily. No. But I think I think I can see why Rebecca's attracted to. Well,
He's clearly
his personality is really cool.
Yes.
And fun. And I really like his personality. His looks, I can see why Rebecca's attracted to that too.
Yeah.
And then we go over to see Jamie, who's getting him and Roy bikes to go around the city and find a windmill.
Oh, it's super fun. I mean, he's getting
because Roy bikes. Doesn't believe in them.
Right. Well, he doesn't believe in windmills. Roy's clearly never been there, but I love this whole bike thing because the bikes they get are stolen. And
yeah.
So like there's this guy off the street and he's giving them the stolen bikes because he gets one for
Jamie.
And then Jamie's like, oh, I need a second one. He's like, I love a challenge.
Yeah.
And so he comes back at, like almost immediately with another one.
And charges them 60 quid for it. And Jamie gives them 100.
Yeah, it's 60 euros.
Yeah.
which is
Jamie gives him 100,
and then Roy's like, I can't ride a bike, I don't know how to ride a bike, and the guy's like, ha ha, and they
all just
Jamie just like laughing hysterically, and Roy's like, you know, fuming.
As the member, as a member of the Can't Ride a Bike Club, mm-hmm. I commiserate. I didn't care.
But it's really interesting because Roy,
I actually feel like this conversation is later.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I jumped ahead. I'm sorry.
Right, that's right. So Beard is sitting in his chair, like touching the chair. He's
petting it.
Yeah, he's got like weird, he's doing weird things with his finger. And Ted's kind of like,
you can go.
You can go. It's okay.
And he's like, bye.
Bye.
And then
Colin is at this bar called Prick.
It's this shot of like him looking up and then him going into this bar, and you just see the word in neon Prick, but with no C.
It's a gay bar.
And so he goes in and he asks for a vanilla vodka, which is a callback to season one when Roy makes fun of him for drinking vanilla vodka like a child.
Yeah.
And Colin feels awkward when Trent shows up, but
it's like he's in the wrong place.
Yeah, and he leaves, and Trent tells him that he's known for a while now, because apparently, because I'm an idiot who, like, didn't look closely enough, I guess, and mm-hmm. I spun this whole narrative of, like, oh, the boyfriend cheated or whatever. No, he didn't. He was sketching Colin.
Yeah, I thought that too, so I didn't.
I also didn't think that this was a secret from the team.
I didn't either.
Because when he brought the guy, it's not like they made a big deal about him being like, oh, this is my friend, or, like, whatever. Like, they didn't. I guess they didn't give him a label, but it just didn't feel like it needed to be said, I guess. I thought it was unspoken, but oh well. I guess I was wrong. But it does end up having a sweet moment later, which we'll get to. Yeah. And then Ted keeps texting Rebecca little gifts and stuff like that of like searching. Like I saw one was like Wile E. Coyote with big binoculars or something. And just like, where are you? And he's like, I hope you're having a good night. Stay safe.
Yeah. So he's got the hotel channel on, and it's Keely again.
It's Keely from Liverpool.
Yeah. It's like,
but just doing, like dubbed.
What to do in Amsterdam? Yeah.
It's so cool.
Then we see that we go back to Rebecca.
Well, no, Ted drinks the tea and leaves.
Oh, right. I didn't realize he drank the tea.
I was looking down. It's okay.
So the guy on the boat is offering Rebecca a drink, and she's kind of like, no, whatever. And you know, she asks him about his relationship, and he's like, you know, it was bad, whatever. We broke up, and I was really almost destroyed by it, almost destroyed my family. But I realized that it didn't happen to me, it happened for me.
That's a great way to look at it.
It is a great way to look at it. So, you know, like,
especially given like the situation, apparently she was unfaithful, and that was a whole thing. So yeah, it happened for him and not to him. And I think that's a great outlook, but it's something, it's an outlook that happens later on afterwards.
Yeah. And so in the background, the song that's on his radio or whatever is and Rebecca's like, is that some Dutch bloke doing Kenny Rogers? And I've forgotten the song. But they start singing it
in different languages.
It's
so cute. And I was like, this is the obligatory, we need Rebecca to sing.
Yes, because we do. We need Rebecca to sing.
And it's always a treat. Then Roy, this is when Roy reveals to Jamie that he doesn't know how to ride a bike. And apparently it's because his granddad promised him that he was going to ride a bike, teach him how to ride a bike when he came back for Christmas, when he joined Sunderland at like 9. And but his granddad died during that time. And so he just never decided to learn. And he was just like, now that I'm thinking about it, it was actually disrespectful to his memory. And now I feel even worse. Can we not talk about this?
And then he goes, fuck.
And Jamie's like, for granddad. He's just like, fuck me. No.
And this is so great because there's a whole sequence of Jamie teaching Roy how to ride a bike to Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, the Birkbeck Rack. song, just like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. It is adorable.
Yeah, it's just so sweet how Jamie's really encouraging him, and he's
everyone keeps falling. It is hilarious.
It's actually really sweet when you think about it. Well, there's gonna be a moment later where I'll wait to bring this up, but it's a really nice moment where he's encouraging Roy to do something that he's never done,
and he doesn't feel comfortable.
He feels more like the coach in this scenario, where it's just like, you can do this, and he's like, well, you stayed up for like 2 seconds, you did it.
You did it, right? And then he's like, pedal, I can't turn
that way. And then it's just like, well, try to turn this way. It's like, I can't turn that way either.
And he finally starts getting the hang of it, and he almost tries to run Jamie over.
And I think that he was trying to use that as an incentive. There's at one point, like, Roy grabs the bike and is like holding it over his head, about to get
Jamie with it. Yeah, he tries throwing it at him.
He tries to throw it, and he's like, well, what would that have accomplished? And in the end, he does learn how to ride a bike, and he's like, let's go find a motherfucking windmill.
So then we see that Higgins and Will are at this jazz club, and Higgins makes sure Will has a drink. He's like, no, if there's one guy, it's one pilgrim, but if there are two of us, it's a pilgrimage.
And also there's a moment where Will sees this couple making out in the corner, and he's just like, he feels lonely.
Aww.
And apparently,
he had broken up with the girl.
Yeah, he had broken up with the girl. That's what I thought too. And then Trent, it's over to
Trent.
Yeah,
I didn't hear all of this exchange with Will, with Trent and Colin. So if you did, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
I choked on my own spit. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, they're sitting by the canal and
near cathedral, I believe.
There's near cathedral. There are going to be bells that come up later because it's near Anne Frank's house.
Yeah, and Trent tells Colin how he came out to his wife a second time because she didn't believe him the first time. I think he's probably bi at this point, because it's clear that him and his wife didn't break up, or else he would have referred to her as his ex-wife. So
maybe
he's
a daughter.
Yeah, and he has a daughter. So probably bi or pan or something like that. And it actually made their family stronger. And there's this moment where Colin says, oh yeah, well, nobody at the club knows. And I was like, I didn't think it was a secret, but okay. I feel like they could have built that up a little bit more, of like him, especially since he brought the guy to the restaurant.
Yeah.
It, that part confused me. But Colin figured himself out with Dr. Sharon. And he has this ache for both sides of his life
to come together.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to come out to the whole world because he doesn't want to be seen differently or treated differently. He doesn't think the team would mind at all, but it's just the fact that he is not necessarily a famous footballer, but he is a public figure, and he doesn't want to deal with the backlash that would come with
he doesn't want to be a symbol. Like, he doesn't want to be
He doesn't want to feel that much responsibility.
He doesn't
want to
be a spokesperson. The word he uses, spokesperson.
Yeah. Exactly.
He just doesn't want to do any of that.
It makes a lot of sense.
Right. He says, I just want, after a match, to be able to kiss my fellow like the guys kiss their girls.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, again, he was kissing his boyfriend that night. And that's how, and Trent is like, oh yeah, I use my Holmesian detective powers to figure it out. And he's like, I saw you making out with the guy outside of the restaurant. That's what I know.
Yeah.
And I was like, they could have made it a little bit more clear, I guess, like a close up or something like that of Colin. I don't know. And maybe it's just me, because I didn't think.
And they have a little bit more talk about how they're close to Anne Frank's house, because some of this is, of course, like a sightseeing thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, here we are in Amsterdam. Let's make use of the location. Then we have Ted.
Yeah, because there's a moment earlier with Jamie and Roy when they're just running and just showing them run. And Jamie is running, and he's like, and that's the bench from The Fault in Our Stars, the movie. Not the book. And it's just like, okay.
Because if you haven't seen it, that's a cute little crying movie. Scratch that. Ted is, it hasn't really hit him yet, but he's having a Ferris Bueller's Day Off thing where he goes to the late night museum stuff. He's going to the Van Gogh museum.
Because there's a shot of that's very similar to when Cameron is looking at the stock exchange or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like him looking down on people, not like in that
right.
way, but
and
you
then,
know what I mean?
Yeah, they have similar shots to when they went to the Art Institute of Chicago. This is obviously the Van Gogh Museum.
Looking really closely.
But there's a tour guide who's talking to Ted about the how Van Gogh search for beauty is the way we find inspiration. What he says is never stop, no matter how difficult it is or how many failures there are, you have to keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted points out that the sunflower
is Kansas's state flower.
Right. And so he's like, it's coming together for him. Like, he needs, and he had seen earlier when he was looking for places to eat, like, hey, there's like American food and whatever, and Baird's like, no. That's not expanding your horizons, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and but that comes in later. But then we go over to the team who's still fighting about what
they're
to eat.
Raging at this point. This is just getting bad.
And Isaac gets up, and it's almost a Shakespearean kind of monologue.
He talks about this existential crisis
there. It kind of sounds, and I'm gonna get it wrong, it kind of sounds like maybe a Julius Caesar monologue or maybe something
Bella
like
one of course.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Henry the one. Whatever time, well, not just fifth, maybe it was the fourth, or maybe it was probably the fifth, but still, I mean, the possibilities are endless of where this came from, because I'm not very well versed in the histories, which, whatever, that's on
Shakespeare
me.
Club, wait, no.
Either way, then Sam has a solution, and they pass around the paper to everybody until it gets to Isaac, and he's just like, yes, and we'll see what that is in a minute. It's great.
That is a callback as well, which is, you know, lovely.
And Jamie apologizes for being a dick and to Roy about just like running around, like having all these Amsterdam facts and that kind of thing. And he talks about how his first time in the city was with his dad because he was trying to like make it seem like he was good.
He was trying to get back with his mom, and I guess he was gonna have like super dad day, right?
Yeah, and he like made him lose his virginity to like
someone in the red light district. He was 14.
Yeah,
Jamie was 14. And Roy, this is fun. He's like, well, that must have been like
traumatic,
and he's like, no, not she for, had a great time.
And then he was just like, and he was like, oh, for me, oh, well, I honestly don't really remember it. And then he talks about how the second time was with his mom, but he
not in the red light
district.
In Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, sorry. And how, but his dad's presence was still felt because it was just like this dark cloud over everything.
Right. And so Roy's like, I'm sorry, I've been a dick, kind of like Jamie's dad had been.
Because he had mentioned like he's taking out his anger on him. When he was like,
when you're upset about something else.
Yes. Yeah. And he mentions that he thinks Keely has a girlfriend, which is very specific. And I don't know how he figured that out.
Right. Then Jamie's response is, let's go find some girls.
No, windmills.
Windmill. Was it? Did you say windmills?
No, he said windmills.
Oh, okay.
Let's go find that windmill.
That windmill.
Which is way better. let's find some girls.
This is like a Don Quixote. Let's go tilt some windmills kind of thing. Somebody in this scenario is such a buzzer. See if you can figure it out. Anyway.
No, but I really liked that moment because like it also has to like click for Jamie too, because I don't think he saw her like as that kind of sexually active, like with women as well.
Yeah.
So it must have been interesting for him too, just being like, okay, well,
that's interesting.
Let's go find that windmill. That's our goal here. We don't really need to unpack that.
And then we get to see Ted at the Yankee Doodle Burger bar.
There's this moment, and when the server's like, all right, you can be seated in the Big Apple, the Windy City, or Hollywood. And Ted says, tell mama that Roxy Hart is coming home. Lipschitz. He just says that shit.
Says the girl who was in
Chicago. But and then he has to specify it's the Windy City to the server who's from Melbourne. And
it has no clue. He's like, howdy.
It's so funny. And then people are playing darts, eating barbecue. It's reminding him of Kansas.
Yeah. And Ted's clearly had been jonesing for home.
At least a little bit of a taste. And then we go back over to Rebecca, who's having fun with the guy. Her clothes are now dry, but she pours water on them to give them more time.
I don't know if that was water. It was something like shot.
He asked if she wanted water.
Yeah, so she pours water, and then he does
too. I hope
too,
it's water.
And
I hope it's not like alcohol that's going to get heated up.
Yeah, let's
That would have ended very differently.
Right, but she's getting drunk with the guy, and he explains to her, he keeps using this word, hushella. And she's like, well, what does that mean? You keep saying that. And he's like, well,
cozy.
There's not a direct translation. It's cozy, but it's also like a mental state. It's kind of like this.
It's kind of like this.
Being home. Yeah, it's kind of like this.
And she's like,
warmth, good feeling mm-hmm. kind of thing.
It's really cute. And then we go back over to Ted, who's watching an old basketball game that he watched with his dad.
Michael Jordan.
It is, indeed. And he watched it with his dad, and he loved watching basketball with his dad. Then he, like, starts imagining Nate is the server. I also think...
you can tell he's hallucinating now.
But also, it makes me think, like... So they needed that it's like a really quick thing and it's just mm-hmm. that once. And so I'm just like, okay, so they needed both Keely and Nate in an episode just to say they were in all the episodes or something.
Yeah, I guess.
Which I'm not complaining. It was funny, but yeah, it's just like,
you do get the sense that these actors are probably doing something else.
Which makes it even more interesting that they did it.
Yeah. Like but I think part of what's cool about this, because he sees Nate as a server. Someone brings him his favorite barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that was a really good callback.
And he's looking at like his onion ring pyramids, thinking about triangles.
Yeah, and the on the broadcast of the basketball game, they're talking about this great
triangle
tactic
offense.
That is the triangle offense, and it's just working so well and all that stuff. And Ted is visited by the true spirit of adventure and talks about triangles and their relation to basketball and sports. And Ted figures out a triangle tactic and writes it down. He asks for the
Clara book. Yeah.
He also writes, but because he was given that by like the museum guy.
Yeah.
And then, which it makes me think if it's just drug induced, how did he get that thing? I don't know. I felt like that guy from the museum was like a figment of his imagination.
Yeah,
asked the waiter for like the multicolored pen or something.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let me have your pen, and he starts, you know, diagramming what he wants.
Yes. And then we go over back to Will and Higgins. Will is still jealously looking at the couple making out. Higgins is asked to go up and perform with the upright bass because he's making all these noises from the audience and like really rocking out on the air upright bass. And then there's this montage.
We see this hilarious, and it's almost like a dojo where they've set up a pillow fight in the lobby of the hotel.
It's
with
the callback to Liverpool, where Ted is like giving them the choice between watching the Iron Giant or doing a pillow fight, and nobody votes for the pillow fight, but he's like, one person's going to pick pillow fight, and that's going to be the one we're going with. Yeah. You're going to do it sometime. I love that they added that.
Yeah.
So
and I love
great.
That they did it on their own.
Oh yeah, they didn't even like have to have Ted there to force them into it. It's even better that they came up with that.
Right.
And honestly, what a perfect way to end the night. They're all drunk at this point.
Right.
And
yeah,
the waitresses are watching
each other. And yeah, they've been fighting with each other. So fine, let's fight out.
Yeah, the waitresses are drinking and watching them and laughing. It's so fun.
Yeah,
and
it's adorable.
Then Higgins is killing it with the band as the pillow fight continues. Trent and Colin are at the gay bar dancing. Rebecca and Guy are dancing. Roy and Jamie find a windmill.
Right. Well, and all of the background music for this is what the jazz quartet is playing in the bar, which is called Let's Get Lost. It's really, it's good background jazz music. It's cool.
Yeah. And
Ted is using all of the sauces to do arrays of like his tactical things.
And Colin gets vanilla vodka and has Trent try it, and Trent hates it. Then
Rebecca's getting a
Yeah, because he mentioned that earlier, and she initially
was like,
my
technique's really good.
Yeah, and then she actually falls asleep, and he puts a blanket over her, and he goes to his room and shuts the curtain. And then the servers at the bar are just like watching Ted do all this stuff, and he's like, wow, he's still there. And he's just like, the waiter who gave him this pen was like, he has my pen. And Derek's not going to be happy about that. It's like, fuck Derek. And
well,
they're just drinking.
Yeah, we also see Roy and Jamie. And at some point, Roy like veers off and crashes, and he goes like,
"Fuck,
fuck."
And then the next, and Will catches the eye of the Dutch girl from the couple, and that we'll find out how that goes later. And then we go to the canal. Yeah, that next morning, Rebecca comes in and she's like, "Well, did we?" And he's like, "No, we didn't." And they never told each other their names, but they kiss. Rebecca says that she won't forget him, and he's like, "You might. People get Alzheimer's."
So
that was funny.
And then it's after she leaves, he's like, "Oh yes, we did."
Yeah, but I wrote in all caps, "Huh?" But then
this might be interesting if she gets pregnant when she's been told like she.
That would be crazy. But I honestly thought they didn't have sex because he closed that curtain and all that stuff. But then again, I didn't think Sassy and Ted had sex, so God knows.
Well, I think hope she they did. Well, I mean, he left her on the couch and she woke up in his bed. So it may be that she got up and like, you know.
It's possible. It's possible. But again, why lie about that? That's gross. And then, sorry. But also, she's super drunk. The fact that she can't remember is also meh. But still. Because I was like, do you mean sex or fall in love?
I don't know.
So I was hoping fall in love, but it didn't clock that she like came out from behind the curtain.
Okay, so they're all at this.
She must have changed into her clothes though. I think she just like went behind the curtain to change into her clothes, maybe. I'm hoping that he didn't like do that while they were both drunk. Well,
yeah, if she like may have initiated while she's drunk.
But the thing is, they both like each other, so I mean, whatever.
But she kisses him, and it's like
it's just weird that if that's true that he didn't disclose that they did, because that's just kind of messed up to me. But sure.
So Beard shows up at the coach with a pig nose and a punk rock outfit.
It's David Bowie.
It's Piggy Stardust.
Yeah.
And Ted gets it, of course. And Beard says, "Rashers or thrashers, oink something to oink,
oink to something,
yeah,
oink to doink." I don't know. But before that, he like Will is on the phone with his mom, telling her about like the night or whatever, and he's just like, "Oh yeah," and this couple approached me and asked me to join them in the threesome, and don't know how that turned out, but good for Will, get that confidence boost, and then when Beard shows up in that like peace love van, he's saying goodbye and it's just like Dutch name and Paul. I don't know why I love that. but apparently the drugged tea was a dud batch, and so that was all Ted. I think it was like the whole like placebo effect kind of thing. And then
Ted starts talking about like he shows the tactics that he's come up with and written down in the back of his sunflower book to Beard. He's like, is this a thing? He's like, I call it total football. And then he's like, and Ted's like, I like that, total football. He's like, yeah, it was invented here in Holland in the 70s.
Yeah, and so it's not like anything new, but it's something that could work, and they're gonna try it.
But what he wants is for the team to have the freedom to follow their guts, but make sure that everybody's back.
So, and supported.
Right. So, you know, if somebody moves to a different position, then somebody else, you know, comes in and gives full support.
Yeah. And then Rebecca comes in and Ted's like, so you, all those, like the 12 unread messages and the many unha-ha'd gifts I sent you, like, what was up with that? Are we good? And she was just like, my phone is at the bottom of a canal. And he's like, is that Keats? And she's like, nope. Nope.
She is clearly relaxed.
Very much so. I think it was that foot massage.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. At least the foot massage.
So Jamie and Roy show up with their bikes. They get off their bikes and the thief is there.
No, Roy is on Jamie's bike because he crashed his bike. And so he's on the back of his bike. It's really funny. And then Rebecca is much more relaxed and she starts singing Don't Worry, and Beard and the team join in, and it's really cute.
It is. Yeah. It is. And then there's Air Upright Bass from Will.
Yeah, Will's learning. And there was a moment in the jazz bar where when the band starts singing and performing, and Higgins is about to give him like a fun fact or something, and he's like, no, I want to listen. It's like, okay, well,
yeah,
you're gonna enjoy this. Yeah. So yeah, that was nice.
All right. That's
the end of the episode.
So what were your best parts?
I had many. Roy and Jamie is top of my list. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I absolutely adored it. And again, as someone who does not know how to ride a bike late in life, just because I really didn't care to learn.
I was there.
Yeah, I know you were. And I really appreciated being represented by Roy in that moment. And also just Jamie. I didn't mention what I was going to mention
earlier.
But it just felt like Jamie was being like a really good father figure almost in like the weird
later
sense.
Like later in the team path.
Yeah,
the guy who could be that guy.
The one who can support, and like the opposite of his father, where he's actually being supportive and being like just encouraging. And so I think that, and it's obviously he's not going to fill his like Roy's grandfather's shoes or whatever, but he's going to honor a good person's memory and to help his coach, gain confidence and like gain an ability and all that stuff. It was really nice to see him becoming like the coach kind of thing and the leader. Then Rebecca and the guy, really cute. Love that. Don't like that it's ambiguous. I kind of wish they just like, just tell us.
You have some hangups. I understand.
Well, it's just the fact that like, it's unclear. And again, if you had sex and the other person doesn't remember, you need to tell them. If you know and they don't, you need to tell them, because first of all, who's going to live with the consequence if something happens? Because he doesn't know about her infertility. Yeah. So that's fucked up. Also, well, if you need to get tested for something, you need to figure that out. It's very irresponsible.
But again, you know, we don't know where this is going to go with the season.
Yeah, I have no idea. But like, it was really cute. What was unambiguous was very, very, very cute.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not again as hung up on whether or not.
It wasn't the drunk part, really. It was more the fact that he didn't tell her.
Yeah. I agree. He should have told.
He should have told her, if that's even what he meant. And I think it might have been, I don't know. But then Trent and Colin, I like that they had that conversation, and now we know that Trent doesn't just dress very fashionably and really cool and just is very knowledgeable about all this stuff, but also being honest with yourself paying off with everybody around you is a very nice message. It made his family stronger. His daughter's very happy. His wife is very happy that he's being honest with himself, and he's richer for it. It's a great message to send, that you need to be honest with yourself and other people.
Right. And bring those two things together.
Exactly. Like, bring those lives together, and it will be helpful.
It's fulfilling.
Yes. And I'm glad that Colin is learning from that. The callbacks to the previous seasons were great. The pillow fight was amazing. And Ted having like the revelation about the triangles was fun. It was also just a very funny episode. So I appreciated all of that.
Yeah, stuff. I think mine is more of an overall, like, I don't have a best part, because I feel like this was a just really excellent episode.
It was great.
And I think this is what this show does really, really well. And it didn't have much to do with what's on the pitch, and I usually am bitching about that, but this really moved the plot, because the plot at this point is very focused on unresolved conflict. And the fact that we are getting motion in pretty much all of the conflicts in this episode, I think is great.
It's fantastic.
And I like to see people who have been struggling with demons, you know, come face to face with them and overcome them. And or find see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, exactly. So I really love that about this episode. And I love that, you know, it's like so many levels of it. Except for, of course, Beard and Jane, but whatever, fuck it.
Haven't been mentioned in a little bit.
They haven't, so. I'm good with that. And, you know, Beard is like, he is just an entertaining and you know, color guy.
Him joining in this song was really funny.
Yeah, no, because he has this super like ska kind of voice, and you know, Rebecca's got this beautifully trained Broadway whatever voice, and he's got this kind of raspy,
everyone, very Jamaican, it's something, you know, that will prove that everyone can join in. Matter what.
Exactly. It's so cute. And so, yeah, I don't have a best part. I just have a, wow, this is a great episode kind of thing. Did you have a worst part?
I had two, but they're like kind of mini things. They're not really like that big of a deal. Keely and Jack, I think that there are some questions about it being like ethical that it's her boss. And more so than Rebecca and Sam, like we've mentioned before. Right. But it's also the fact that, like, we just didn't see anything from that. Like, you mentioned, we're seeing this beautiful spectacle that is the Aurora Borealis in Norway. You don't get to see any of that.
No, and I would have liked it, honestly. That is a bucket list kind of thing for me. I would love to see the Aurora Borealis.
Obviously, that could be harder to film, but you can always fake it. But, yeah, like, still, I think that a moment, like, in that montage, seeing, like, Keely and Jack watching the Aurora Borealis would have been fine.
Yeah.
I just feel like they kind of just wrote her out of the episode and was just like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of, I do think something must be going on with the actress. Like, she must be working on another project, because we aren't seeing her. And even in last season, we didn't see a ton of Keely in a lot of the episodes. It's very intermittent right now.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what is going on with that. I think it's true with Nate too. I think I've mentioned that before. The actor may be doing other projects.
That's possible. And good for them if they are, but absolutely,
sure.
It's just disappointing because we like Keely and we want her to succeed and grow and all that stuff. But again, if we had seen a lot of Keely and Jack, I think the episode would have been poorer for it. So, I mean, it's a mixed kind of thing. And also just the fact that Colin's story wasn't more clear, I guess, the fact that it wasn't clear that, oh yeah, that was Colin making out with this. Again, maybe it was just not me not being observant, but also like the fact that they didn't make a big deal, or at least a bigger deal, about him being like, oh yeah, no, this is not my boyfriend or something, or just being clear about, oh, this is just my friend.
Or that we don't really understand why he is as conflicted as he is. I understand.
Well, until now, I think that I understand it better because he's more internal. It's also about him being a public figure and not wanting to be the face of any big movement about it. He just wants to live his life, which I think is a great point to make, but also like, I'm glad they brought it up. But again, I wish it was a little bit more clear that he was keeping it from the club as well.
Yeah.
If that was what they were going to go for. And apparently that's what they did. So, but those are really small, honestly.
Yeah. I didn't even write down any because it's like, I just put a question mark because I'm like, I really loved this episode. I really did.
Yeah.
So what grade did you give this?
I don't know if it's an A+ for me, but it might be.
I gave it an A for sure.
I think it's definitely an A. I don't know if it's an A+.
I have trouble giving anything an A+.
Yeah, me too. I think it's an A. There were certainly, it was pretty long as well. I think that the length allowed for a lot of good growth with the
and resolving conflicts because we have so many storylines.
There was a lot going on in this episode, but they were all like, they felt coherent to me. So I think
the montages, which I usually bitch about, were more
succinct.
Yeah, right. Well, they were more, there's greater density to it. So like you're actually getting something out of it as opposed to, you're riding bikes and you're riding packs past tulips and and here's a windmill. And I mean, it's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like that was better done. And I feel like this was just a really solid episode. And so where do we think we're going from here?
Well, obviously I think the tactic is going to serve them well. Otherwise they wouldn't have put that much emphasis on it.
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be the moment where like Roy compliments the team and Beard faints or something. But I think that that's going to work out well for them. I think that I'm excited to see where Roy and Jamie go. And I think Jamie stepping into a leadership role is going to be great because I feel like he's earned it at this point. Not necessarily replace Isaac as captain, but I think that him just stepping up is a good thing. I want to see more of Sam because, again, he's kind of just...
Yeah, he's been
again,
a side
he
character.
Has a restaurant. Yeah. I feel like because I read the quick synopsis of like the next episode that they have on Apple TV Plus, it's called Boxes.
Hmm.
But I think that apparently some VIP guest is going to go to Sam's restaurant. So we'll get a little bit more of Sam. So that's nice. I'm happy about Rebecca. The fact that it might be a pregnancy storyline, I don't really love because, again, I don't feel like that should be the point.
No.
But I mean, if she does get pregnant, good for her, I guess. But also, again, you should have told her. But that really bothers me.
Yeah, no, I get it.
That's a part of the worst part is him not telling her.
Yeah.
But that's true. But I don't know. Hopefully Keely gets back into the mix and we actually figure out what's going on with that. I hope Roy and Keely finally talk about stuff. Because I think he needs to talk to her about, okay, like confront the issue of, are you seeing someone right now? Or like,
is there some hope for us kind of thing?
Yeah. Are you going to like, where do we stand? If like, just in general, I think that they need to figure that out. But again, I hope that Jack is short lived. Again, it's not that I don't like that she's exploring her sexuality and stuff like that. It's not that at all. It's just the fact that I don't care. And I really just, again, it's the weird, like, I'm going to jet you off to Norway. And I mean, that's fine, but I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I think they have not quite figured out what to do with the Keely storyline. And, you know, it's just different. So yeah, from a prediction standpoint, I agree with you. The tactic is going to work. I think one of the things I'm seeing now is the no place like home thing for Ted. And I can see this coming around to him getting ruby slippers and clicking his heels back together kind of thing. You know, there's no place like home in Kansas. Because I think that, you know, it is a source of inspiration and beauty for him. His family is, his son is. And you know, the fact that he can get that disparate restaurant, great. Mm-hmm. But I think he needs that grounding. Mm-hmm. And I think that at the end of the season, he's going to be going back. But I do think that we are getting to a point where you can see where Roy and Jamie are going to be like the core of how this club moves forward.
Yeah.
Beard may or may not say, I don't know. He's, you know, Mr. Experimental. It's hard to say. They can really do anything with him as a character. But I think he and Ted are, you know, these kind of like polar opposites. And so that kind of Matt and Jeff thing is fun. I'm glad that there was like a purpose to Trent Grimm because
we needed to have something there for him to do.
Again, because this whole Colin storyline kind of felt a little shoehorned in.
Really, because I think it was the brevity of it, like especially in that episode.
Yeah, what does this and what does it mean from a club perspective? Like how is this going to be brought into the main is what I'm still wondering, because it still seems kind of tangential.
I feel like if they, and this is a big if, like if they still had like Shandy, which God forbid they would, but if they still had Shandy and he like came out to the team and was just like, I want to keep this under wraps or whatever, that would be like the big Shandy thing, like outing him or something like that. That would be like, yeah, no, you're out. But I'm glad they're not. But I think that he's probably just going to tell the team at some point later on in the season and be like, listen, I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I don't want, and tell Keely, I don't want this to be like a spokesperson opportunity kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to do my own thing. I just want to be honest.
Yeah, I just want to be me and I want to live my life.
Yeah.
And that's good. I think particularly, but and maybe that's part of the purpose of the Keely Jack storyline, is that she doesn't want that necessarily either.
Mm.
That it's not, but Shandy might, that's not an idea. Shandy might out both of them.
Yeah, that's possible. And because that
I also, like her.
Because I feel like that would get like Keely and Jack fired, or at least Keely fired. And because she did technically initiate it, and that would potentially get her fired. And it would make Colin very uncomfortable in the club, and people would hound him in the press. Mm. But
Trent might be able to protect him. Though.
But yeah, I think Trent might, and that's because I don't think Trent would write about this in his book. No. I don't think so, because obviously he understands the struggle kind of thing. It's
And
not going to be that.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. So maybe that is the purpose in the overall scheme of things. I don't know.
Possible.
But yeah, I am looking forward, and finally, I'm so grateful that we're getting past some of this being stuck.
Oh yeah, Ted's monologue, I was like, yeah, I feel very stuck right now too.
Right, and that you know, like the Agincourt speech from Isaac, I feel like the team has felt very stuck and very conflicted, and I like that they just beat it out of each other with pillows. We used to do that with you guys. Well, actually, we had Nerf Wars in the hallway.
Yeah, we have Nerf Wars.
It works too.
Yeah.
Well, we are looking forward to our next episode, especially looking forward to Sam's episode. Sam's awesome. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.